And the man of the year was, oh my God, Pablo and Idina.
I told you you have the same shirt on.
Should I change? Should you? We look like the Asian Bobsy twins.
First off, I'm wearing a lighter blue, number one. Number two, I've worn this shirt many times before, so you should have anticipated that this was a possibility.
I sat down first. I'm not mudging.
All right. Welcome to Highly Questionable. This is awkward. The vanity of television. People all worried about whether or not they're wearing the same thing. Elle's not done with her makeup yet. Let's see if we could give some people some smart television here.
They all... Oh, God.
Is this better? Oh, this is covered in so much mucus.
Is Kareem right that there hasn't been a strong enough response to anti-Semitism in sports?
All right, it is probably worth noting, because this is a little bit heartbreaking, that Muhammad Ali is dead, that Bill Russell walks hunched over, that Jim Brown walks with a cane, that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they all acted in the civil rights movement. We saw their faces involved with this. And all these years later, as our heroes are either dying, dead, or on the way to the ending, they are still out here arguing for the same things they were arguing for 60 years ago. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has become an opinion columnist who writes the right thing at the right time. And here he's talking about DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson and the idea of if there is injustice for one, there is injustice for all. And of course, he's right that we do not cover this well. And the history of Black and Jewish relations is complicated. You can make the argument in American history that Jews have been more supportive of Blacks than any other group, march with them disproportionately during the civil rights movement, a part of the building of the NAACP and the Civil Rights Voting Act. These two sides know what it's like to be oppressed, and they work together. And condemnation of one side here when there is something like anti-Semitism is condemnation of all if you do not do it.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out, because he's absolutely right, and I've been trying to figure out why. And I think that there's a couple of things at play here. I think it's the proportionality of how racism and bigotry affects one group of people over another, right? So I think people in the Black community would say, okay, well, Jewish people have no concerns about getting pulled over by the police. Jewish people, you know, are not affected by the inequities in the healthcare system, in the education system, in the criminal justice system. I also think the reason that you're not seeing as much outrage as you typically would in these situations is because we are experiencing a revolution in this country of Black empowerment, and it's a beautiful thing. But unfortunately, some of that Black empowerment is at the denigration of other people. And I think that what we're seeing is hoteping at its absolute finest, where we used to write it off as insane conspiracy theories on the internet. And now people are actually taking these things, thinking they are uplifting the Black community. And people are, frankly, frightened to say anything that they believe would affect any of the fantastic strides that we've made collectively to empower Black people as a community.
I think he's right, but I also think this goes way beyond sports, something that's become very apparent to me over the last couple weeks, but obviously for a much longer time, is that anti-Semitism is viewed differently in this country from other forms of discrimination. That there's this perception that because these conspiracy theories, hateful ideas, stereotypes are targeting a group with more perceived power, as Elle laid out, they're somehow less dangerous. But something that's also very apparent to me from covering sports in particular and athletes is that your perceived power and privilege and standing in this country does not protect you from bigotry or discrimination. And while it's easy to brush aside some of this stuff as internet zaniness, or your uncle, or your friend who's going deep into YouTube and sharing stuff on social media that he probably does not even believe, those ideas have consequences. They have clearly seeped into the public consciousness and sowed division that does manifest itself as violence. As Kareem wrote in his column, hate crimes against Jewish people are increasing in this country, and ignorance is no longer an excuse.
Yeah, hate crimes against Jewish people, violent hate crimes against Jewish people have been increasing to the point where last year is the record high in American history. The year before last year was the Tree of Life synagogue shooting in which 11 people of Jewish faith were killed. I mean, this is all very near and dear and present tense. And Dan started this off by talking about the civil rights movement. And one of the things that I think has been useful to remember as we talk about Black empowerment is the civil rights movement isn't that long ago. Well, the end of the Holocaust is less than a decade before the beginning of the civil rights movement. There are people in this world who acutely remember what it's like to have their lives on the line, who acutely remember genocide. I mean, the shock to me is that I thought Hitler's brand was stronger in all of this. I thought anti-Semitism's brand was stronger in all of this, because for a long time, it seemed, the textbooks made it very clear that history's greatest monster might be that guy. And now I think we're also dealing with not only these racial complications, but the fact that the internet is eating people's brains, and that when information and the truth are more in doubt than ever, it's easier to fall into these conspiratorial Farrakhanian rabbit holes. And I know it's hard to call out, but it must be called out.
How badly did Jerry Jones mess up Dak's contract situation?
Okay, so 1 year for $30 million is what it's looking like. And now Dak Prescott will have the opportunity to sort of make a mess if he chooses to do that. The most interesting part about this the entire time for me has been, will Dak Prescott actually be willing to sit out games? He now has the ability to do that this way. And that threat from a quarterback, I have no idea whether he would actually pull the trigger on it. But if you were to do that to America's team and actually use the holdout as a leverage play, that is now in Dak Prescott's power. I think that's interesting, because it's something that would tempt me if Andy Dalton is the best that you got behind me.
There's no reason for him to sit out. He is so close, Dan, to getting that Kirk Cousins money times something. Okay, here's why they screwed up. Imagine you're Jerry Jones, and it is week 15 of the season, knock on wood that it happens, and your team is about to clinch the division, in large part because you have built this high-powered offense. You have surrounded Dak Prescott with weapons, and he is thriving, and you are watching an empty Jerry world, or I don't know, maybe that's not safe, so your supervillain yacht, and you should be thrilled. But you can't be thrilled, because you have essentially bet against your own quarterback's success while putting him in a position to succeed. He has been hoisted by his own petard. I'm pretty sure I got that phrase right. Rhymed levitard.
A 1700s phrase. Hoisted by his own petard. Good God.
I've been waiting so long to use it, and I think it makes sense here, because if Dak Prescott plays well, they're screwed. Right? They are screwed. They're going to have to pay him so much money because he's so much closer to free agency.
I really hope you use that right. Otherwise, you were just hoisted by your own levitard. However, pause for applause. My thing about this story is that Dak Prescott came out and said, I couldn't be happier about being a Cowboy. And I like to take that phrase actually literally. I don't think he could be happier about being a Cowboy, because I think he's miserable. I don't think he could bring himself to feel any more joy about the fact that his boss does not believe in him the way he wants them to believe in him. Dak Prescott wants to be there for a very long time, and he wants to be there as a top shelf quarterback. So what has happened instead? We have been doomed to having this exact segment a year from now. This is all going to happen again, because they can do the exact same thing. A franchise tag, a debate about what happens when Dak's really good, but also thinks of himself higher than Jerry Jones thinks of him. We're going to be saying this all again.
As if this segment wasn't already off the rails, I'm going to use a terrible analogy. If running backs are cars, right, and they immediately depreciate as soon as we take them off the lot, then quarterbacks are essentially beanie babies, right? Like, they basically have to sit there and do almost nothing, and they just accumulate and appreciate in value. So as long as Dak Prescott's stitching doesn't come out, or like a really eager toddler gets to him, he's going to be worth more money next year than he was worth now. And Mina Kimes, she just said it so eloquently, not the batard part, because I was literally about to Google what that exactly meant. I don't know. I'm not up on my 17th
can
century
look,
stuff.
Can we look this up? We need to look this up immediately, yeah. I think. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
yeah,
we need
no,
to
please.
Look up the origins of hoisted by the batard, because I'm pretty sure she went medieval there.
A small bomb made of a metal or wooden box filled with powder used to blast down a door or make a hole in a wall.
The How contract long ago? Is the bomb. It's very obvious, guys.
But hold on. Elle brought up Beanie Babies and said that they appreciate in value without nothing happening to them.
Yes, they just sit there.
I bought so many Beanie Babies when I was like in grade school. And I don't know if they've appreciated in value. If they did, I need to call my mom right now because there is a dusty bag in their basement full
of. If they're discontinued, you can get between $20,000 and $50,000 for some Beanie Babies, Pablo.
What?
Pablo, call right now. Call. Find out whether or not your family has $1 million worth of Beanie Babies in the basement.
I have a Beanie Baby in my house. I'm going to go get it.
Okay,
what
listen.
Is that worth?
Mint condition, 1996.
No.
Baby Batty Beanie Baby, considered rare, $1,000 right now on eBay.
What?
Look at that.
Hey, hey, check out that date of birth.
Does it say 96?
This is $1,000!
You have $1,000 beanie. I've told you.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Am I saying this because I also went to Japan and tried to use a bidet and had that stream of water hit me in the face? Maybe. Maybe. But, you know, not all technology is good.
Does paying Derrick Henry make sense?
All right, we've been doing fill in the blank with this question, and I keep being wrong, and Mina keeps being right. So on Melvin Gordon, I say, you got to pay this guy. They didn't have to pay that guy. On Todd Gurley, I was saying, this is the guy. You got to pay this guy. They didn't have to pay that guy. And I still think on McCaffrey, he's versatile enough. That's the guy. It might not be the guy. And now I say it again. This guy with Tannehill, because of what he made Tannehill, because of specifically the idea that he makes his quarterback better, because play action makes Ryan Tannehill a more precise quarterback. You're not just doing this for your running back. You're doing this for both of them. I'm wrong again. Am I wrong again?
You just said a bunch of things that are wrong. But here's the thing. I'm okay with the contract. It's fine. It's actually fine. It's basically 2 guaranteed years equivalent to what he would make if he was tagged twice. Look, we know what happens to running backs. They peak at 26. Typically, after they carry the football more than 300 times, their performance goes down. Historically, this has happened over and over. I hope Derrick Henry, who is 26 and carried the football 303 times last year, defies that. If anyone can, it would seem to be him because he is virtually indestructible. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter. The team mitigated the risk with this contract. It's a win for him. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he's sort of an anomaly, right? Because if you just look at his last 2 seasons alone, you know that running backs as the year go on are supposed to wear down, right? And they're supposed to be less useful. It's the total opposite for him. Like in the first 9 games of the last 2 seasons, he's like 39 out of 50 out of qualifying running backs in yards per rush. But then he just absolutely comes out the gate in the last 7, right? Like to the point where he almost doubles his yards per rush and is number 1 running back. So he's a freak in that way. But, and there is a but coming, I agree with Mina. I think they paid him exactly what they're supposed to, because essentially he's one-dimensional. He's like the best at being one-dimensional, right? But he's incredibly one-dimensional. And if you look at the dudes that are on the list that are getting paid more than he is, they've all got a couple of things going for them. The ability to be pass-catching backs as well. And the fact that every single one of them has had some consistency and has also hit that 2,000 all-purpose yards mark. He has not. He had one really incredible year last year, but it was one really incredible year. So they're basically paying $12 million a year to be Ryan Tannehill's binky. And that seems commensurate.
Hold on, though. Can we get on the record then? Because Elle made various good points. But is Mina Kimes now willing to say that a running back matters? Is that where we are now? I know that she's not wearing her throw the damn ball shirt and decided to dress like me instead. So can we have it on the record, Mina? Running backs matter.
Wait.
Can you say that?
Not only did you dress like me, I sat down here first. I did not change any of my views of running backs. I candidly think the money could be better allocated elsewhere. I'm just saying this contract is fine.
Do you think this would be a good new sponsor for the Bills Stadium?
Okay, such a good idea to get some marketing attention from these people at Tushy and the bidet to offer $12.5 million to put our name on the stadium. Whether this is serious or not, like a porn company trying to get some attention to its brand, bidet company Tushy wants to rename Buffalo Bills Stadium and host a college football game called the Toilet Bowl. And then it would be, of course, Tushy Stadium. I know Pablo is a big proponent of the bidet. Mina Kimes is down on the bidet, but I just love this as an idea. Bills football for the last 20 years, absolutely something that belonged in a toilet.
So I love bidets so much, and that love is fueled by a longing for one, because Dan actually has a bidet, doesn't care about it, doesn't really know how to use it. Meanwhile, I have a Kohler San Rafael toilet, a variation of that model, which means that these models, the Tushy, the Toto ones, they don't fit. I've been trying to order a bidet attachment for my toilet for months now, and none of them fit. I have a weird toilet. I ordered the Blooming NB1063. That doesn't fit. I need something that works for me, so I'm in favor of all of this, but I feel discriminated against.
Wait a minute, Dan, and this is an important distinction. Do you have a full bidet or do you just have like washlet, like just the top?
I have a full bidet. I have a fully functioning bidet situation. You guys are very happy about that. I do not use it very much. All of this is creating imaging, I feel like, that America doesn't need right now.
But that's because America does not understand how beautiful a bidet is.
Here we go.
I spent two weeks in Japan, and when I tell you, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be very vulnerable right now. I do have some insecurities in the bathroom. I don't like other people being able to hear me go, no matter what it is. And the idea that you could press a button and there would be ambient noise, right? And that same seat would warm underneath you and give you a fresh washing afterwards. Warm. But I'm pro team bidet. And the only thing that I've ever disagreed with Mina about is this. What is your problem, Mina?
Indefensible.
Okay.
Indefensible.
Okay. I love the idea of ambient noise. The warm seat sounds magical, but I can clean myself. I do not need a stream of water directed towards me. And am I saying this because I also went to Japan and tried to use a bidet and had that stream of water hit me in the face? Maybe, maybe. But, you know, not all technology is good.
How did that happen? Were you just leaning over it? Were you leaning over it?
Speaking of visuals, we don't really need to paint for the audience.
Hold on. I have an experiment right now. Raise your hand if you've ever been sprayed in the face by a bidet.
You know what? As much as I want to make fun of her, that's actually happened to me, too.
God.
It has happened to me. Yeah. And it was before my first date with my wife where I got my shirt all wet because I didn't know how to work it. And then it spritzed me. Yeah.
This is who we're dealing with. This is who we're dealing with.
You've got enough. You're like, oh, I need to finish my business. You're trying to find the button. They're all in Japanese. That clears away what you've left behind. You're pressing the buttons. There's so many buttons.
Oh, you bent down and out.
You pressed the wrong button.
Yes, and she got jacuzzi spray. That's right. Jacuzzi spray right in the face.
God, ew.
In the bubble, Bobby and Toby.
Oh, Boban of John Wick fame has this friendship with Tobias Harris that is just adorable. It's a real bromance, even though Boban is now flirting with Luca. So let's go to a video here from Tobias Harris.
Hanging out with Luca.
Yeah, so that's jealousy. And then there's an apology birthday present that is sent. Let's see what we have here.
Hey, Bobby. You're a good dude, brother. I forgive you. Now don't do it again.
All right, there it is. Okay. All right.
We back, brother. We back.
All right. He fixed it with some alcohol. That's very sweet of him. Mina, are you intrigued here?
I'm intrigued by all of this, man. Like, the bubble really is summer camp, right? Like, who hasn't had that experience at summer camp with your friends one day, the next day you're all by yourself making lanyards, crying in the cabin?
Totally hypothetical. Totally. Those details, hypothetical. Elle, how about you? Are you intrigued?
I'm intrigued as to how this isn't considered light stalking. Like, they're literally just like a rabbit head away from this being fatal attraction. He's like filming him without his knowledge, and he's talking about how jealous he is and how much that hurts. It just all feels a little not above board to me.
Pablo, how about you?
I am intrigued. I'm just glad Boban has a good sense of humor about all of this, because if we're being honest, none of this is happening if Boban, instead of being over 7 feet tall, is like 6'8", like Tobias Harris. He's doing it because he's the friendly heir to George Murison. And if I'm Boban Marjanovic, I'm like, hey, man, I'm a person too. I can go date whoever I want. I don't have to be your social media fodder. But instead, he plays along, and I credit him for being the bigger person, literally and figuratively, and I apologize for making that joke.
Oh, you can wear it around your wrist, too. Look at that.
Girl, don't break them.
That is Mina Kimes. You can check out her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny. If you want more Beanie Baby talk, L. Duncan on SportsCenter and Pablo Torre, ESPN Daily. Get it where you get your podcasts.
Hey, Boban, you know it would be a great gift for Tobias Harris? It's only $1,000.
Look, on sale.
I think it's too faded, actually, now that I see it shipping closer. I don't think you're getting full value on that.
No, that's the color.